All right, I want my kids to come and they're going to sing, do one more set of verses that kind of goes with the message this morning out of Luke 2. Open your Bibles, if you will. Luke chapter 2 in your New Testament. And how many of y'all are glad you didn't stay home and meditate on St. Mattress? Amen. Are you glad you came to church today? And man, we're having a good time. And you listen now, make sure they get this right. And look in Luke chapter 2. This is the Christmas story, maybe better than any other place. Tells about the birth of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Brother Dave, for allowing us to come and be a part of this service. Really an honor. We're excited about being here tonight as well. Sunday school this morning was great in my older brother's class, and a good time there. But I want you to listen now, and this message is about 15 to 17 minutes, so we're going to be right on time and everything. I want you to listen close. We're going to try to preach fast. Got a long way to go and a short time to get there, huh? But you listen, and their part is they give these verses and give them Luke chapter 2. Andrew, start them. Ready?
Luke chapter 2, 1 through 14. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Then all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
All right, give them a hand on that if they got that right. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject from verse 7 and through the passage here. It says, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, what it's going to take for you to have a good Christmas. What's it going to take for you to have a good Christmas? I don't know about you, but my favorite holiday of the year is Christmas. My second one is in December too. I'm not even gonna tell you what age I turned, but our birthday this last week. I love that month. And hint, give me a present. But I love Christmas for some reason. Ever since I was just this tall, it's been my favorite holiday. But I don't know about you. I hear about some people getting depressed at Christmas time. And getting drunk, you know, it's an excuse for a lot of people to put out the spirits in the wrong way and everything. But I love it. I want to have a good one. And I don't know about you. I think you probably came to church kind of wanting to get your heart, Lord, speak to your heart so you can get ready to have a good Christmas. I'm going to get right into the message. And some of this might not be real theologically straight, but it'll preach. Amen. And I saw, maybe I'm okay. I hope I don't get kicked out for preaching on this. But I saw some Christmas decorations in here. It made me feel right at home. Like, hey, maybe we're in the right vein. Maybe the Lord is leading. But let's get with it. Number one, if you're going to have a good Christmas, face the facts. This is just the case. You got to have a tree. You got to have a tree. You're not going to have a good Christmas if you do not get you a tree. You now have, what is it today, on the 6th of December, you now have, you know, like 19 good shopping days left, ladies. I mean, counting, if you do your math and all that, you got, I mean, it's time to get it in gear. Get your husband to get it in gear. You got to have a tree. It all starts with the tree. Now, back where I live in Arkansas, we grew up in Texas. They didn't even have any trees there. I don't know how many they got here in New Mexico. In Arkansas, they got a few more. You know, I don't think they got any water in Texas or a lot of things. But we live over there in that third world country called Arkansas. They don't wear no shoes. We decided to wear them around you dignified folks this morning. But we go back home, we don't wear none. But they got these tree farms. They really do. And it is a business. And, buddy, you show up there, you got to have a pickup truck. To survive in the South, you got to have a pickup, right? And you get out there and your family's with you and you see this little dude, he's there, man, he's a big older guy and he is serious. He's got him a golf cart or a four-wheeler, brother. It's been rode a few times and he's got those trees lined out there and you jump in the back of that, no insurance, nothing. Get on, hang on, man. He's flying around curves. He's trying to get you to buy the biggest, most expensive tree he's got. You get there, and man, my wife's going, that's a beautiful tree. And I'm looking down, and I'm looking up, I'm looking down. Where's that price tag at? And I'm going, sir, I don't know if this is one we need to have. I don't know if the Lord's leading on this one. He's looking at me funny. He goes, okay, I got you, I think. And we move over and we go to another row. And you get this tree, and you see these trees, and man, they're rough-looking units. And you turn around, they look good on one side, halfway good, but you check the back side, it looks like deader than last year's bird's nest or something. And you're going, my wife's going, no, we don't want that one. And I said, I like the price, though. And finally, you get one, you settle on it, he cuts that thing down, throws it in the back, and you get it on the back of your pickup after you pay for it. You get home and you put that thing up in your living room. You know what you're getting ready to do? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're getting ready to have a good Christmas. It starts with the tree. Got to have a tree. You say, well, what's this got to do with the Bible? What's this got to do with the prices of bananas in Cuba, Brother Reed? Well, there is something in the Bible about a tree. Some good things and some bad things. You know what? In the Old Testament, it's very clear. The very first story, the big story, opens up and it started at a tree. Man got in trouble at a tree, didn't he? And you know what? We've all been to that tree. It's not like you're going to have a good Christmas. You get in trouble when you go to this tree. It's a tree that's got sin at it. And yet, you know, in the New Testament, there's another tree introduced and it's called not just a tree, but the tree. I'm telling you, you don't just need any tree, do you, ladies? You need to get the right tree. You need to get the tree. Take your Bible, look at 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter chapter 2:24, and here it is in the New Testament. Very, very clear in the Word of God. A tree that is a special tree. There were thousands and thousands of trees. And there were trees that people even hung people on. I mean, life was cheap. Blood was cheap back in those days, like it is getting again today. Listen, people were hung on crosses. They were hung on trees. Back in those days, thousands and thousands of people got crucified. But there was one tree that's a special tree. And I'm talking about if you want to have a good Christmas, you got to get this tree. You got to get the right one. Look what it says, 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on what? The tree. Not just a tree, not just any old tree, but the tree. I'm talking about the one that Jesus died on. Hey, listen, it ain't the wood, the piece of wood, or the cross that saves, but it's the message about the one that died on the cross that can save you and give you a good Christmas like no other Christmas. If you ain't never been to the cross, you ain't never been to this tree, the right tree, you're not going to have as good a Christmas. It's just not going to click for you. But I'm telling you, if you come to Jesus and you come to that cross, you're getting ready to have one. The potential's all right there. Number two, now this is a fact. This is just common sense stuff here this morning. Number two, you want to have a good Christmas? You got to have a tree, but two, it's got to be hung right. The tree has to be hung right. What kind of sorry Christmas would it be if you got that tree in the house and you picked out a real good one? Got it in there and mounted that thing, got it over in the corner, and days went by, Days went, a couple of weeks went by, and you're staring down Christmas, and there ain't nothing on it. It's got to be hung right. Are you listening to me? We got a visual this morning. Y'all know I need help. My eyebrows don't even match. And so I need help. So I like a cheat sheet or something. There it is. It says right here, Christmas. What is it that you hang on a tree? You say, this doesn't got nothing to do with the Bible. Well, let's see. What is it? I need class participation. Now, our kids don't need to answer this, all right? Because they might have already heard this one before. All right, but somebody say, what is it that you put on a tree? First thing comes to your mind. What, somebody? Go ahead. Ornaments. Good. The word ornaments is in the Bible. Check it out. All right? Huh? All right. Something else you put on the tree. Good answer. What else you got to put on the tree? Lights. Light. The word lights is in the Bible. And actually, there's a light on the tree I'm talking about. You know what Jesus said in John 8:12? He said, I am the light of the world. And he got hung on a tree. Are we okay? Got to have a light on the tree if you're going to have you a good Christmas. Not just a tree, but you got to put the right thing on it. It's got to be hung right. What else you put on there? Somebody tell me what? Good, perfect answer. All the answers are incredible. A star. Does the Bible say anything about a star? Revelation 22, I believe it's verse 16. Jesus said, I am the bright and morning star. See, he's everything you need, really. He's everything. He's there. And he's a star. Make sure you get him on the top. Huh? But that star up there, don't forget that. I understand the roots of Christmas and the tree. And all. I understand a lot of that stuff. But listen, I think it's a good, you can make a good holiday out of it. Amen? I've seen it happen before. Under the pure, all things are pure. Under the defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure. But I tell you what, I like Christmas. And I tell you what, if you think about it, they talk about it. You got to hang your tree right. Do you know what it says in the King James Bible? Galatians 3:13. Turn there. Look at the scripture. It's got to be hung right. Not just any tree, but the tree. And it's got to be hung right. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. He didn't get hung by his neck. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, if you died being hung in some way, shape, form, or fashion, if you think about a rope hanging somebody, you know, by their neck and everything, it said, the Bible said there's a curse on you, big time curse. That's not the way you want to die. But the Bible says, Jesus took my place. He was my substitute. And the perfect man, came down here. He lived 33 years and never sinned, not one time. I mean, buddy, I can't go 33 minutes or 33 seconds without sin. Have you ever tried to time yourself? Jesus lived 33 years, and they took an innocent man. He died for the guilty, and he didn't die being hung around the neck. They hung him with nails through his hands and through his feet. And that's the answer I'm talking about. If you ever understand this and get this, Christmas will be different for you. You'll have a good Christmas whether you got that perfect present you thought you needed to have. Whether so-and-so showed up and somebody did you right or wrong. Hey, listen, you got Jesus right and you understand it. He got hung on a tree. And your tree's got to be hung right. God hung his tree right for all to see. Third thing. Got to move quick to get done in time, huh? Number one, got to have a tree. Number two, it's got to be hung right. Number three, it's getting more important now, a little deeper. Got to have a gift. You got to have a gift. Now, you kids, you ought to react to this. Hey, I like this message. I don't know about all that tree stuff. I don't understand it all. But I want a gift. I don't know about you. At Christmas time, there were seven of us kids. My older brother Adrian remembers, we were jockeying for position to get the first gift on Christmas morning, brother. I'm telling you, my dad, he was a pastor, independent pastor. He started churches all over Texas. But he was bivocational, trivocational before anybody ever called it that. And he made, in the entire month of November and December, he'd make playhouses. And little parents, rich parents, would buy those playhouses for their little girls. And my sisters wanted them, and I didn't care much about that. But my sisters did, and to save up a little extra money to get us presents, because he had to put the food on the table for all seven of us, and him and Mom too, and he had to buy us Christmas presents, and we wanted bunches of them. I knew before 10 days before Christmas, 5 days before Christmas, 2 days, I knew which ones were mine, and I probably knew, I've learned a little bit from Adrian about how to do this, and my oldest brothers and sisters, that what was inside? That's wicked. I wasn't saved. I think he was. So I could be forgiven for this. But when mom and dad, they didn't dare go to the store. They figured it out quick like other parents. Do not go to the store and leave the kids here anywhere in the month of December when there's something under the tree. Hey, they're gone. Everybody's in there. You undo the tape. I'm not giving you bad ideas, but I learned stuff from other people. And you hold it up to the light. I'm shaking that thing, brother. I wanted a gift. I didn't care much about my sister's gift or my brother's. I wanted one with my name on it. What kind of sorry Christmas would it be? You had the tree, the right one. Beautiful, beautiful tree. And it's all hung with all the ornaments and everything, just perfect. Wow, look at that thing. Day after day went by, and there's no gift under there for you. You got to have a gift. The Bible, does the Bible say anything about a gift? It talks about a gift, but then it talks about the gift. Not just any gift, but the gift. What is the gift? Person, place, or thing? We think of it as a thing because it's the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. More than anything in the world, Psychology Today magazine recently did a poll interviewing thousands of American people of all different ages. Number one thing people want in America is they want to be able to live forever. They want some cure for medical. And then the older you get, the more you want some kind of pill or something that makes you live where you don't want to die. People don't want to die. They don't want to die, and God knows that. He don't want you to die. Eternal life is the gift. It's a thing. They say person, place, or thing. It's certainly a thing. The gift is a thing. You know what God wants you to have? This thing called eternal life. He don't want you to go to hell. He don't want you to go to hell. He did everything he could to keep. He wants you in heaven. You got to have a tree. It's got to be hung right. Got to have a gift. It's got to be wrapped right, though. It's got to be wrapped right. What kind of sorry Christmas would it be if you bought it in there and there's a Walmart bag still on your gift, around their present? Dollar Tree, that's a good one, huh? Hey, man, me and my family, we usually eat at restaurants where you look up at the menu, not down, huh? That's what we do. And so you gotta have it wrapped right. Now, let's get real. If you're going to have it wrapped right, you got to get a woman to wrap it. Preferably mama or the oldest sister in the family. Is that anywhere in the Bible? Sure it is. It all comes right out of the Bible. The gift's usually got to be paid for by daddy. Santa Claus ain't the only one in the red after Christmas is over, you know, on call holidays, is he? But it's got to be wrapped by mama. Picked out and wrapped by mama. Hey, listen to me. Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and did what? Wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. They didn't even have enough money between them to rub 2 pennies together. No birth announcement, no announcement in the paper, no special, you know, baby shower, nothing for Jesus. Man, they were trouble. Joseph was broke, busted, and disgusted, you know, or whatever. I don't know about disgusted, but I bet he's embarrassed because they didn't have those that they're on a journey, and they don't have a place. There's no hospital, and this little baby's born in a barn, actually born in a barn. And you know what? She didn't have anything, no little diapers. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Those shepherds, why were they the first ones to know? Maybe it was because he's the chief shepherd. Maybe because he's the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. Maybe it's because he's called the great shepherd. Maybe it's because he's the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. They just thought they'd seen a lamb. Now they're fixing to really see one. God says, go down there and at least see that little baby. It'll be a sign unto you. In other words, this is not normal. And you'll see a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. What about that sign? I bet you those shepherds, out of respect to that woman and her, the most difficult hour of her life, and the fact that this could be God's son, the angel just preached a sermon to him, you know, made a pulpit out of a cloud and preached to him about scared him to death. And they show up and they see this there in the middle of the night. Hey, listen to me. I bet you they didn't say this in front of the mother, in front of the stepdad would be what you called Joseph. But when they got together, they said, did you see what I saw? And they talk about the different parts of the scene, the picture, and they said, did you see what I saw? That little baby is wrapped up. Strangest little baby look I've ever seen. Cutest little boy smiling out of there. He looks like a little mummy. He looks like a little mummy. I thought that's what it looked like too. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. A little baby wrapped like that. Why? He was born to die. You weren't born to die. I wasn't born to die. I was born to live forever and get born again. Amen. Jesus was born to die. He's going to die. The innocent man was going to die so you could live forever. It's got to be wrapped right. Woman wraps it. A redneck can fix anything with duct tape and drywall screws, right? Is that correct? You don't want us wrapping it. It ain't going to look right. You got to have a tree. It's got to be hung right. You got to have a gift. But it's got to be wrapped right. Listen, here it is in the Bible. The gift, it looks like a contradiction. The gift is eternal life. But God says the gift is His Son. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. There's your gift in the Old Testament. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. It's talking about Jesus, Isaiah 9:6. Hey, listen to this. The gift is Jesus, the unspeakable gift. But I thought the Bible said the gift's eternal life. There seems to be confusion. There's no confusion. The gift, eternal life, is wrapped up in Jesus. Most people think they get eternal life by earning it, being good and all that. You can't get there. Your works are filthy rags. What you have to do is take the gift, and you have to take Jesus. It's wrapped up in Jesus. Here it is, 1 John 5:12. This is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's wrapped up in Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This gift God wants to give you is a person, a place, and a thing. Eternal life is a thing. Eternal life represents heaven when you die. It's a place, but it's a person. You can't get to the place unless you take the person. You got to take it. You got to take Jesus. You say, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want Jesus. Can't get there. Why don't you this morning take Jesus as your Savior? Why don't you take Jesus? Why don't you receive Him? When you do, you're taking the gift of eternal life. It says at the end of 1 John 5, this is the true God and eternal life. Eternal life is a person. Eternal life is a person. I tell young people all over America, if I could take Jesus out of my heart for 5 seconds and put Him in your heart, you'd never want to give Him back. But I can't do that. You got to make that decision yourself. I hope you make it right. Last thing is this. Got to have a tree. It's got to be hung right. Got to have a gift. It's got to be wrapped right. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You got to get down on your knees to get you one. Isn't that interesting? I don't like the Christmas tree. I do. I got some pretty sweet gifts down through the years at that place. But you know what happened? Every time I got a gift at Christmas time, it just so happened in America tradition, to get that gift, you got to get down on your knees. I don't want to go up there in front of them people. I'm not going to go up there and pray. I'm not going to go down there and get on my knees. Never slowed me down at Christmas time. Dad's over here on this side of the tree. Mom's over there. He's reading off the names on the... I already knew which one had my name. How many of them had my name on it? Got to get your dinner. It's right, there's one. Okay, Freddie, you go get you one. You think I'm going... I ain't going to get down on my knees. No, I'm running down there to get my gift. Open that thing in a hurry. You know what you need to do this morning? It's what you got to do. You got to get on your knees to get you one. Has there ever been a time when you knew you wasn't going to make it? You weren't going to make it there, but you was going to make it there. You was going to hell. And you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior and asked Him for eternal life and took it as a gift. If you haven't done that, this morning you ought to cash in on the deal. You ought to get up out of your seat and make your way down to this altar and let one of these ladies or one of these men, if you're a man or you're a woman, let one of them show you a couple of verses. You already know them. And get this thing done. Call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask Him to save. We've seen people all over America do this. But you've got to get on your knees to get it. There's no other way to get to the gift. Would you come? Let's stand this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The musicians are coming to take their place. A song will be sung in just a few moments. In just a few moments, she'll begin to play softly a verse of invitational song. Here's what I want to ask you. If you're here today and you say, Brother Reed, I'm 100% sure, I'm positive on this thing, that if I died, I'd go to heaven. There was a day when I took Jesus as my Savior. I asked Him to save me. Hell, I asked Him in my heart, and I'm born again. I know where I go if I died. As she begins to play softly, would you slip your hand if you say, Brother Reed, I'm glad to say it. Put your hand up, put it right back down. Many, many hands went up. Great, great, greatest information you ever got was somebody showed you how to get that. Greatest choice you ever made was when you said yes to Jesus. Some hands did not go up. Maybe you're here and you're like this. You say, Brother Reed, I can't say that. Boy, I wish I could, that I have eternal life. But I'd like to. Here's what I'd have to say. I'm lost. I'm lost. There's never been a time where I've ever really been saved, but I need to be. Would you pray for me, Brother Reed? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one else is looking. Would you pray for me, Brother Freddie? I'm lost. God brought me to this service. I see it today. It's clear. I'm lost. I've never really accepted the Lord that way, but I want to. I'm lost. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand if you're that way? Just be honest with me. I know I'm lost. Anybody that way? As we tarry by the clock. Maybe there's a third group. You're like this. You say, Brother Reed, I can't say it. I couldn't raise my hand. I was 100% sure I was saved, like others did. But I'm not going to come out and say I'm lost and raise my hand that way. I'm like this. I'm about 90% sure I'm going to heaven. 95% sure some days. Sometimes I'm even 99% sure. But I'm just got to be honest. I'm not 100% sure. I'm like that. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand if you're that way?